Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's open our Bibles, if you would please, this morning, one more time to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. What we intended or thought would be a one message 2 weeks ago has not been that. Amen. We dealt back in this passage last Sunday morning, and we're back in it again today. Amen. Luke chapter number 15. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Boy, we need the Lord to help us. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the preacher, Brother Joe, if you would pray for us, brother. Oh, Lamb of God, we need you, Lord, in a mighty way. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, God. Yes. Yes, Lord, please.
Lord, just fill him afresh, Lord. And Father, give us what we need.
Yes, Lord.
Praise you for that which you're going to do. Lord, we just want to take it that we love you now.
Yes.
Save the lost. Encourage those that are
Yes, saved. Lord.
Father, touch us now like only you can.
Yes, Lord. Lord.
Spirit, now have rule and reign in Jesus' precious, wonderful, blessed, bloodstained name.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 15, verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now keep in mind, verse 18 and 19, he's rehearsing. He's still in the far country. He's making that decision. I will arise and I'm going to go to my father, and here's what I'm going to tell him. Here's what I'm going to say when I get there. Father, I have sinned. That's a good place to start. That is the only place you can start, is you've got to start with the problem. Amen? I have sinned, and we'll deal with that later on, before against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now he's rehearsed all that. Verse 20, and he arose. So now he's got it in his mind what he's going to say, what he's going to do, and now he's acting on it. So that's what you need to do. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Some of you need to do that. You got it in your mind. I've sinned. I've done wrong. My life's a wreck. I know what I need. I need Jesus. I need cleansing. I need the new birth. Act on it. Amen. You can think it and talk it all day and all week and all month and all year and all your life. But until you act on it, you'll never get right, never get saved, never get any help. Amen. Help me, Lord. And he arose and came to his father. But, wait a minute, what happened to all that rehearsal? Yeah. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And notice he only says part of what he rehearsed. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's all he got out. He didn't get all that other stuff out.
Did he think
Amen. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand. Hallelujah. And shoes on his feet. And amen. Woo. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Woo. Brother Brian, we'll get to it maybe sometime in the future. But in that restoration part, the one that should have been killed was not the calf. The one that deserved to die wasn't the calf, but rather the prodigal, the one that had wrecked his life. But instead of him dying, we see substitution. We see instead of one dying, the guilty, the innocent gets to had to die. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Hallelujah, you can be seated. We've been preaching two Sundays ago. We started on a Sunday morning preaching on the prodigal. I know he's not called that in the scripture, but his actions and his choices and his life certainly projects that prodigal lifestyle. And as we mentioned last week, you can deal with this passage if you deal with it far as interpretation is concerned and context, and the context of the scripture is what determines the interpretation. You build doctrine on interpretation, not application. Is that right? A lot of false teaching going on in our country today and in churches today off of applications. You build doctrine in context off of the interpretation. Amen? And the interpretation of this chapter is lost things. Lost things. Amen? But we can use, that is, the son typifies a sinner. One that is lost without God and one that needs to be saved. Amen? Just like the sheep in the first part of the chapter was lost, and the silver in the middle part of the chapter was lost. Now the son here was lost. I'm glad there's salvation for all. Amen? I like that. But in application, you can see here a person that has gotten away from God. That one that's gotten cold on the Lord, broke fellowship with the Father, went away from the Father's house, the Father's work, the Father's will, the Father's wants, and go to a far country to live after the flesh, live for the flesh, amen, live for that which gratifies and appeases the appetites of the flesh. Let me just help you something right here, young people especially, all of us truly, we know that the flesh will never have an appetite for God. Your human nature will never want to sit down and fellowship with God, feast with God, follow God. Your flesh is wicked. Your flesh is corrupt. That's why it cannot produce salvation. Amen. Even the best works the flesh can produce is tainted with sin. It is corrupt. Amen. Even if it's a good deed, a lot of times it's corrupted with a bad motive. Amen. But God didn't depend on us for salvation, and I'm glad of that. Because we couldn't purchase it. We couldn't perform it. We would mess it up. Even if we could have done it, we'd mess it up before 24 hours. But here's a man that typifies a person that's gotten away from God. But I'm trying to preach on that far country. I'm trying to show you in the scripture an individual that made some bad choices. His life did get in a mess. You can't say it otherwise. His life was a mess. He was on the bottom, lost everything except his life. That's all he had was his life. We'll deal with that later, Lord willing. But I'm going to deal with that, and we've already dealt two Sunday mornings. Let's pick up some things here and just share with you. First of all, I want to focus our attention this morning, number one, on the selfish request. The selfish request. Notice in verse number 12, if you would. Verse number 12 said, and the younger of them said to his father, note these next two words. I've I've preached out this passage. I've read this passage. I've heard it preached. I've heard it taught. I've heard it sung about. But these two words, Brother J.R., never got big to me until this time. Give me. Those two words summarizes the entire downfall of this young man. Give me. Selfish request. Me. Is it he or is it me that's big in your life? See, there was a time, now listen, there was a time that in this young man's life, there was a time that this young man looked at his father as, wow. I mean, really, a young boy, a young girl raised up in the house, Brother Brian, they'll think that their daddy has got a big ass on their chest. I mean, daddy can do anything. Daddy can fix anything. I mean, amen, isn't that right? Amen. He's one of the superheroes. He can probably jump a mountain. He probably can fly to the moon. He can do it. That's what kids think about their daddies, and you should not let them down. Don't let them down, amen? Don't show them that you're sorry and no counting. Hey, amen, don't do that, amen? But there was a time, you know, this young man went from his life being all about he, the father, to changing to where his life now is all about me. And that me philosophy will kill you. That me philosophy will destroy your home. That me direction will destroy your life. Amen? Oh, God, help us to realize the power of selfishness and the destructivity of selfishness. If you get, listen to this now. If the devil can get you selfish, he can get you sinful. Because selfishness is the seedbed for sinfulness. You take back in Genesis 3 when it all started, when the fall of man took place. Look what was the driving force. Was it the Word of God? No. Amen? They knew what the Word of God was. You can eat of all the trees, but not this one. But the devil moved in, got Eve selfish. God is selfish. Oh, that'll be good for food. If I eat that, I'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Think of what kind of promotions that'll bring me. Think about what advantages that will give me. Think, man, if I had that kind of knowledge. Think of what, if I had that kind of knowledge, what I'd be. I'd be the admiration of society. I'd be the envy of others. Amen? But the truth was, the devil got her selfish, thinking about nobody but herself. Not thinking about breaking the commandments of God. Not thinking about God not having someone to fellowship with in the cool of the day in the garden as he had before. But no, she thought about me. She thought about that big one letter word that gets in everybody's way. I. Amen. But don't you forget this. This is deep. Everybody listening? That little I is the dead middle of the word sin. Amen? You got S on one side, which could represent Satan. You got the big I in the middle. And then you got N at the last, which could represent nothing. Because if Satan works in you I syndrome and the selfish life, you're going to end up with nothing. Amen. Amen. I mentioned it Sunday week ago and last week. I'm going to say it again. There's never been a good testimony come out of the far country. Nobody that has ever lived for self after the flesh. Get what I want. I want it. I don't care who I have to hurt to get it. I don't care who I have to step on to get it. Living a self-flesh-pleasing life leads to your ruin. But if he can get you selfish, he can get you sinful. And so the request, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I wrote this down, an independent spirit. And that's what selfishness is. It's where you think about nothing or nobody but yourself. Amen. That's right. That's what's behind alcohol. People drinking alcohol, gambling. Amen. There's kids go to bed at night hungry because of a selfish daddy. Taking the money, needed money, much needed money, and go and gamble it away and blow it and throw it to the wind or drink it or snort it or turn it into a pill or a party or a potion. And their family is suffering and hungry and in desperate need. Selfishness will make you a sorry daddy. Selfishness will make you a sorry mama. Selfishness will make you a sorry son or a sorry daughter. Amen. Selfishness will destroy a church. Selfishness will destroy a nation. Selfishness will destroy a home. Selfishness will destroy a life. Amen. We all know people that does that. Behind a disobedient child is selfishness. Behind a back-talking, sassing young person is selfishness. Amen. You don't have to teach them that. They don't have to have a class in elementary school, amen, or preschool. You don't have to have a class to teach them selfishness. Watch how the little kids play with their toys. What do they say? That's mine. Mama, he's got my toy. Huh? Yeah. We've got a streak through us as wide as we are that's called selfishness. Amen. And by the way, we may learn to deal with it. We may learn to live and deal with it as we get older, but it's still in us. Say amen right there. It's still in us. Amen. God help us to watch out for self and flesh and that independent spirit. I've seen it in so many young people, and I'm not going to try to spend all the message here, but I've seen it in so many young people. They do good when they're little, and they grow up in church, but all of a sudden now, they got a permit in their pocket. All of a sudden now, Brother Tom, they got a driver's license in their pocket. All of a sudden now, they've went from elementary into junior high, and then now, oh, hey, I'm in high school now. And all of a sudden, you're going up in size, and mom and daddy is going down in size. You're going up in importance, and your church is going down in importance. Amen. Amen. When you get big, everything around you gets little. Everything and everyone around you gets small. Amen. There's parents, my friend, that have put themselves in, I'm talking about debt, that they could not live long enough to pay it off. Why? To satisfy the wants and the desires and the cravings, amen, of a selfish, amen, that's right, a selfish young lady, a selfish young man that wants this and that, even though we cannot afford it. I want it so that I can fit in.
Right.
Amen. I'm telling you, I could give you case and points of that. Amen. I'm talking about one instance, my friend, where the daddy don't have enough money to pay attention.
Right.
And you're broke when you don't have enough money to pay attention. That's broke. But the child was not, at this point in my illustration, was not big enough to know nothing about a cell phone.
That's right.
But he had a cell phone. And not just a cell phone, but a smartphone. Had texting, internet, all that on there, and he wasn't even big enough to use it. You know why? Makes you look good. Makes the daddy look good. My little toddler here has got a cell phone. What's behind all of that? Self, flesh. I want to look good. I want to feel good. It's all about me. Who is that in here that makes that statement sometimes? That's right, Miss Shannon. Raise your hand over here, Miss Shannon. Get that on camera. There she is. Amen. That's right. It's all about me. Amen. Boy, Paul said it right in Ephesians 6. No man, was it chapter 6 or no, chapter 5? No man ever yet hated his own flesh. Boy, Paul had it right there, didn't he? Amen. Nobody's ever hated that. You love it. You love of self is killing our church. It's killing us. It's killing us. Amen. This young man, listen, you've got to, before you can ever get to the far country, the devil has got to produce in you a self-importance. Here's a young man that went to his father and said, give me. Now, by the way, I just thought I'd let you know that word, those words, give me, is in the imperative mood. And you know what that is? That's an expression of a command. You can tell if somebody's selfish, they're not asking, they're telling. Amen? How many children are telling moms and dads what to do? We were up here the other day. We was just having a work day. We was up here fooling around, working and doing things. And we had some visitors come in and just kind of looking over everything. And there was a little toddler. You know, the mom had to get on him a little bit. Thank God he did. But he jerked away. I'm talking about still in diaper. Jerked that hand away and said, no! Well, I couldn't help it. I had no relationship to that individual. Wasn't mine. I couldn't handle it. I said, hey! I was sitting right here on the front row. I said, hey! I said, don't talk to your mama like that.
Good for you, brother.
He looked at me. I said, don't ever talk to your mama like that. Don't ever tell your mama no.
Hey.
And you could tell, Brother Tom, he had never had that done to him quite like that. Because he was standing right here, and when I got on his case, he leaned up against this wall right here and hung his head down. Amen? That's right. Amen? You can't pat on the hand and say, now don't you do that. Don't talk to mama like that. No, you got to get their attention.
Right.
Hey, man, she said, but I spank him. I said, evidently not hard enough. Hey,
no.
Amen. Praise God. That's right. I'm not all for child abuse. And I don't know why I'm preaching on this. I'm hitting everything about it. Hey, man. But you ought to make their shirt tail fly up like a window blind every once in a while. That'll help them. Set the smoke alarm off. Praise God. Get their attention. If you take them out and give them a little talking to, and they come right back in and do it again, you didn't get their attention. Hello? Go back out. Take them back out. Get serious with them. Hey, man, I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm talking about breaking their will. Not their spirit, their will. Get their attention, amen. Why? Because that... the Bible said a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame.
Yes.
Leave them alone. Let them do as they please. Let them back talk you. Let them sash you. And this young man had that spirit in our text. Listen, do that. Leave them alone and they will bring you shame. Well, they won't like me if I bust their hind end. Are you wanting them to like you or you want them to turn out to be something one day? A child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. You know what that is? That is the result of a young person raised up without correction, left to himself, do as they please, choose their friends, choose their music, choose everything, and my friend, go in a lifestyle direction that when the mother looks at it, she blushes. When the mother looks at that lifestyle, she's ashamed. Some of the most hurtful words that a mom could say to a child is, I'm ashamed of you. Brother Tim, I don't know why I'm on all this. I'm preaching good, ain't I, Miss Whitney? Thank you. Are you listening? I was sitting at Walmart the other day in the car, amen. It's cheaper that way. Had the windows down. This come to my mind. And my wife was in there. Of course, that's not cheap. And I'm just sitting there resting and windows down in the shade and just resting. And I heard this woman come out of one of the entranceways. And I mean, boy, she was giving her two little kids, and they weren't big. I mean, she was giving them to what for? I mean, buddy. And she got them to the van, which was right behind my car, and I just couldn't help but listen. My windows was down. And you know what she said, Brother Carroll? She called their names, got their attention. Both of them looked at her. And I was looking in the mirror. And she looked at him, she said, I'm ashamed of you. How you acted in Walmart, how you behaved in Walmart, I'm ashamed of you. And you'd have thought from the looks of them boys that she'd have beat them to death. Kids wants their mom and dad to have some kind of pride. Not sinful pride, but some kind of a right kind of pride about their children. Amen? Amen? Listen, but a child left to themselves will bring the mother shame. That's right. Selfish request. Listen, I want you to turn back just a couple of pages. Turn back to Luke 9. Some of you that's come to church here for a while, you'll remember this because this came to my heart back again this morning about this Me First message. Everybody remember that? Anybody remember that Me First series I preached? Look at Luke 9. Look here in verse 57. And it came to, I'm still talking about a selfish request. It's all about me. It's me. It's what I want. Mom, Dad, I don't care what you want. I don't care what the preacher preaches. I don't care what our church stands for. I want what I want, and I'm going to get what I can get. Amen? You know what that is? That is a GPS that's steering you to the far country of destruction. That's right. Listen to this. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Look at verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. That's the will of God for every saved person. That's the will of God. Amen. Follow Christ. He said unto him, follow me, but... You have to watch that word. But he said, Lord, here it comes, suffer me first. Me first. Boy, if that don't describe our, most people go to church, most people live in this country. Me first. Jesus is trying to get him to follow him, put Christ first, but yet this young man said, suffer me first. Lord, I'll do that, but I've got things I want to do first. I'll get saved, but I want to do this first. I'll get serious about living for God, but I want to do this first. Amen? Would there be any young people in here? Don't raise your hand. Would there be any young people in here like that? Well, I'm intending, preacher, one day to get saved, but first I'm going to do this. But first I want this. But first I've got to have this. Amen? Would there be someone in here and say, you know what, preacher, I really do have intentions of getting right with God, but first, me first, I have got something I want to do. Hell is filled with people that live for self. Put the Savior on the back burner, put salvation on the back burner, did not take it serious. Intending, Brother Brian, one day to do business with God about this issue of salvation, but death caught him, a tragedy caught him, a car wreck caught him, a physical reversement, physical tragedy, something happened, and all of a sudden that last breath left their body, and they lifted up their eyes as the rich man in Luke 16, that my friend, lift up their eyes in the torments of the eternal flames of hell. Listen, let's read on. Luke 9, look at it. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now here, watch this next one. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first. Look at that me first. Let me first. First, go bid farewell at which are at home at my house. Now, that doesn't look bad. That doesn't look like bad. I'm just going to go tell mom and daddy bye. The other one that said me first, I mean, my daddy's dead. I'm going to go bury him, you know. But listen, you know what's going to get in the way of a lot of people getting saved? It's good things. Not everybody. There's people that won't get saved, don't want to get saved because they don't want to do good. They don't want to do good. They want to sin. They live to sin. That's their lifestyle. They love it. They're planning to get in it every chance they get. But not everybody's like that. Some putting salvation off even with good things. But write this down in your heart at least. When good things gets in the way of the best thing, it becomes a bad thing. Amen? That's right, isn't it? God help us. A selfish request. He said, but let me first go. I've got some things I want to do. I know, Lord, you want me to follow you. You deserve me to follow you, but I've got something I want to do. Now, I hope y'all understand, I'm not preaching to the Romans in Rome, and I'm not preaching to the Jews in Jerusalem. I hope y'all do understand that this is very applicable to this crowd right here this morning. Amen? Amen. Let me say this clearly. I want everybody to listen. Everybody say me. You didn't say it loud enough. Say me. You just identified your worst enemy. Not the devil, not Satan. Amen. He is the ultimate enemy, but he doesn't deal with me directly. He did Job, but he probably will not none of us. None of us are probably on a spiritual level that would cause the devil himself to come and deal with us. Amen. One lady stood up and was talking about the devil beating on her and all this, and the preacher told her to quit bragging on herself. Said, ma'am, don't brag on yourself like that. She looked at him like, what are you talking about? And he went on to explain that not only her, but none of the rest of us are on a spiritual level that would cause the devil to have to come from wherever he's at to wherever we're at and deal with us personally. He usually just sends his weakest demonic force, you know, probably don't have enough energy to move, and sends him to my address and turns me inside out. Turns me inside out. Amen? Oh, God help us to know, though, that this preacher right here has been, listen, hello, I've been saved 31 and a half years this past January, well, 31 years January. Been preaching 31 years, but I can't tell you the times I've been defeated. I can't tell you the times I've had my fellowship with God broken. I can't tell you the times that I've been in a mental and a spiritual condition that was displeasing to God. Now, don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that. I've been looking, preaching, what, 15 minutes? 30 minutes. Thank you, brother. I like his clock. I've not seen any halos in here. I've not seen no wings in here. Amen. So don't look at me that way. Yes, this preacher, if you pinch me hard enough, I'll say ouch. And if it's really hard enough, I might hit you. I'm human. You're human. I've got the same flesh you do. But there's time. Listen, I'm going somewhere. There's times that I've been out of fellowship with God. 1 John addresses that in God's people that gets out of the will of God and needs restoration and needs forgiveness. Every one of those cases in my life, I did it. I don't have time to deal with it right now, but this word in Luke 15, the words give me, turn back to our text, the words give me there, along with several other statements down through here that we'll point out later, are in the active voice, meaning the subject is the doer of the action. He is doing it. He's not made to do it. He's not being forced to do it. He is doing it on his own. He's responsible for his action. You know when you'll get help? I'm jumping way ahead right here in another message. But you know when you'll get help? It's when you become responsible for your actions and say, I have sinned. My life is a wreck. I did it. Quit blaming others. Quit blaming circumstances. Quit blaming God. Quit blaming the government. Quit blaming. Hey, come on now. Amen. Amen, as they say, just suck it up. That's not good spiritual language, but you know what it means. Quit whining and quit trying to blame others like Adam and Eve did for your sin and for the mess your life's in. Look in the mirror and say, it was me. It was me, oh Lord. It was me. Amen. Selfish request. Give me. Now wait a minute. What he's asking for is really his inheritance. What he's asking for, Brother Brian, is really what was not supposed to be given to him until after the daddy was dead. Here he comes to his father that had spent his life working and toiling to provide a home and provide for this young man. Here is a young man that got so self-centered and self-focused that he comes to his daddy that sacrificed and worked and labored to provide and says to him, "Daddy, I want what's coming to me and I want it now. I can't wait till you're dead to get it. I want it now." And basically, I mean really, if you summarize that statement down for what he was asking for, he's basically saying, "Daddy, I wish you was dead so I could have this." You say, "Preacher, how in the world could a young person disrespect and dishonor their parents?" You let self get big and your parents will get little. And I'm not talking about in physical size. I'm talking about in your respect and your admiration of them. Say amen right there. Praise God. And brother, that's why I preach the way I preach. Is because we want some of these, well, not some of them, we want all these young people in here to be admirable young people that knows how to honor the older folk, honor parents, honor the preacher. Amen? That's right. We've lost that in this day. Amen. You don't get respect out of the music world. Not the world's music, you don't. No, they will teach you to be disrespectful and to be disobedient and to live for yourself and do your own thing. Amen. But don't you forget these verses right here, young people. Let me give them to you. Don't you forget these verses right here. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 5 and 16, "Honor thy father, thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord God giveth thee." Colossians 3 and 20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." You young people hear that? You say, but preacher, I've got a sorry mom and dad. And there are some kids that's got that. Now, we might as well just be realist. We just might as well fess up. Amen. There are some young people today that's got parents that cares absolutely zero about their children, where they are, how they're doing, where they're going, and especially their destiny in eternity. Amen. That's right, isn't it? But I want to tell you, it's still right to honor. It's still right to honor them. It's still right. That's still Bible. You say, but preacher, they don't deserve it. Well, that's not in the equation. That's not even in a parenthesis in that verse. No, honor. Honor them, amen? They may not be where they need to be. They may not be what they need to be, but honor them. Show them a little respect, and you might be shocked at how much that will change them. Say amen right there. Well, we're having a good time already. Matthew 15 and 4, "For God commandeth, saying, Honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." Help us, Lord. We're talking about the selfish request. Let me deal with this. I'm going to deal with this and I'm going to close. I'm not going to be able to get no further. Unless some of y'all packed a lunch. And I might be able to get a little further. I'm just kidding. Not only is there a selfish request, and I hope that God made that big in your heart. I didn't cover it the way it probably needs to be. The disrespect, the dishonor, the heart, the mind, the thoughts, the desires, the attitude that was behind that word, those words, "Give me. Give me." Amen. Amen. I'm going to say this right here publicly. My son having worked today, but here's what I've told him, and I mean it. If he makes a choice to go in a direction of life that is wicked and sinful and ungodly and goes cross-grained with everything I've preached and stood for, I will not leave him a dime. You hear me? This is on tape. Think I'm going to live for God and serve God and whatever little bit I do have, leave it to somebody that's going to squander it and blow it and throw it away? I'm not leaving nothing. See, I don't like that. Well, that's not a Bible. I didn't give you a Bible verse. Amen. I'm not saying you're to do it. I'm just saying that's what I feel about it. Amen. So So I don't like that. Well, it's just tough. Amen. I don't have no admiration at all for somebody that chooses to live in sin. And by the way, let me just jump way ahead right here. The Father never went in the far country with him. Amen. The Son made a choice to go in the far country, wreck his life, ruin his life, and lose all he had. Lose all he had except his life. He still had his life. But the daddy didn't go with him. Amen. You young people, I'll be your friend. Be the best friend you got. I'll love you. I'll preach to you. I'll encourage you. I'll give you instruction in righteousness. I'll try to help you to do the right thing. But if you make a choice to go to the far country, I'm not going with you. Amen. If you need me, call me. I'll be right there. I'm a funk, but I'm not going to the far country with you. Amen. I'm not going far country with you. Amen. Parents, don't go to the far country with your child. Some parents have. They throw their standards away. They throw God out the window. Amen. To go when their child starts going in the wrong direction. If there's ever a time, Brother Tim, that you need to stay your ground, it's when your child's going in the wrong direction. Why? Because they need to have a standard. Listen to this, and I'm going to be done here in a second. You remember the message I preached here on Don't Sell the Farm? Remember that? Several years ago, some of you maybe hadn't heard that. Don't sell the farm. What I do, I preach that whole message on the Father here. How he did his best, tried his hardest, you know, to have a farm and have a place, you know, that would be a positive for his child or children. And then here's a boy that walks away from that, blows it all. The daddy could have had a thought, what's the use? Sure. I have worked, I've tried, I've labored, I've given myself, and look at this. I do this and they're still leaving. You know, they're still breaking my heart. They're still, amen. But listen, do you think that father wanted to sell the farm? Do you think that ever went through his mind? Maybe when he saw the sun going out over the horizon, leaving for the far country. Do you think he may have went back in the house? And I think he watched him walk all the way off out of sight. Because he was still watching when he came back. He was probably watching when he went all the way out. Probably tears running down his face. Broken heart. Hey, man. Boy, kids can break your heart. That's just a little inserted thought there, but kids can just break your heart. Hey, man. And maybe that man went back in the house and maybe went in the kitchen and sat down at the table with his head in his hands, weeping and tears dripping off on the kitchen table. And he probably said, Mom, honey, I think I'm just going to sell the farm. I'm sick of it. What's the use? And she might have said, if you sell the farm, where is he going to go to when he does want to get right? Hey, man, don't sell the farm. Our church is not selling the farm. Mom, Dad, don't sell the farm. Keep things straight. Keep it tight. Keep it right. Amen. They may walk off. They may say, Mom and Dad's old-fashioned, preacher's old fogey or whatever. Hey, stand your ground because there'll come a time when they've been introduced to the hog pen, when they've been introduced to the bottom, when they've been introduced to absolute shame, my friend, they'll think, you know what? I need to go back home. I've got a daddy that prays. I've got a daddy that believes right. I've got a mama that lives right. I'm going back to the house, amen. Don't sell the farm. But there was not only a selfish request, but there too was a sinful route. A sinful route, amen. Look at this statement right here. I'll be done in just a minute. I've preached 42 minutes. That's short, I think. Listen to this right here. Make a note right here of this. He says, give me, in verse 12, the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Now notice this. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and notice this statement right here, and took his journey. Not the father's journey, his journey. Going where he wanted to go, do what he wanted to do. Amen? Listen, a far country. Listen, he said, I want what I want, and he took his journey there in verse 13. A sinful route. And I already told you, if he can get you sinful, he can get you, or if he can get you selfish, he can get you sinful. Amen? If you if you get selfish, if you get self-centered and self-focused, you are going, not many days, it said not many days hence, not many days, you're going to be making a choice to take a route, a journey, a direction in your life. And it's going to be a sinful direction. It's going to be a sinful route. It really is. Amen. God help us. God help us. Amen. Yeah. I thought about this coming over from the house to the church this morning. If the devil can get you, if he can get you with a far country mind, which selfishness produces, it's all about me, it's what I want. If he can get you with a selfish mind, it won't be long till he'll have you with selfish morals. I don't care if it's right or wrong, preacher, I'm going to do it. It don't matter if you preach against it, I'm going to do it anyhow. Now, you probably verbally wouldn't tell me that, but your actions, some of your actions tells me that. Preach, it don't matter what you preach. Don't matter what you preach. Preach against, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Amen. God help us. But notice here, he took that sinful route. He was in the far country in his mind before he ever made his move. He was far country in his heart before he ever got in the far country in his habits. Amen. His far country condition was long before the far country location. If you get selfish and self-focused and self-centered, it won't be long. You can write it down. You can write it in the back of your Bible. You get selfish. Not many days hence, not many days after, you'll take your journey. A wife gets selfish, husband gets selfish, self-focused, self-centered. Not many days. Not many days. I've seen it. I've seen it here in the church. I've seen people serve God. All of a sudden they start getting selfish. All of a sudden their life starts rotating around me and mine and I. And by the way, you'll just look through this passage and note all the personal pronouns. Yeah. Go through that. Go through our story that we read this morning and note all the I's and me's and we's and all that. Look at all the personal pronouns. When your life becomes self-centered and self-focused, I want what I want. No matter if it's right or wrong, Bible or not, I'm going to do what I want to do, preacher. No matter how the church stands, no matter what the church believes, what the Bible says, I'm going to do what I want to do. I want to tell you, not many days. I've seen them. Get that faraway look in their eye, Brother Bruce, get that faraway look in their eye, and it's not long, they're gone. Am I right, church? Come on now. You know, we've had families right here. We've had individuals right here that would testify, that was involved, that was faithful, and all of a sudden their life become more important than living for God. Amen. Made some choices, put God on the back burner of their life, so to speak, and the next thing you know, they're out the door. I said it last week. Before the devil could have ever got this young man in the far country, he had to get his heart out of the Father's house. If the devil can get you out of, listen, if the devil can get church out of you, he's made a big step of getting you out of church. When church starts to become boring, amen, when church starts getting on your nerves, and preacher preaching against sin bothers you, and your attitude starts to change toward the preacher, amen, and where once you responded to preaching, now you're kind of bored with preaching. All those things are indications that you've already got the far country in your heart and in your mind. And if the far country is in your heart and mind, first opportunity you have, you'll be gone. The first opportunity you have, you'll be gone. Not many days. Y'all need to mark that. And not many days after. Not many days after. That means he was sitting dead on ready to leave. He's already in his heart, already in his mind, done made his mind up. Could there be, ladies and gentlemen, could there be someone in here, you've already got your mind made up? You've done got your far country mind made up? Huh? Hello. You got your mind made up. You're biding your time. You're looking for the opportunity. OK? Can't wait till I get my driver's license. Can't wait till I get a job. I graduate from high school. I can't wait. You know why? That far country. Got plans that far country. How many kids done pretty good in church till they graduated? All of a sudden they stepped out into the real world, so to speak, and all of a sudden now Christianity and serving God is not the big issue. Now it's career. My wife and I talked about a young person this morning, has not been to church one time since they got a job. Are you listening? You said, but preacher, I'm supposed to have a job. I'm supposed to work. Not at the expense of the spiritual. The spiritual should always be priority. Yeah, well, preacher, I've got to get a job, you know. I'm going to go down here at such and such, and I'm going to make $2.10 an hour, but I won't never be in church. God is not in a million miles of that. Let me flip that on the other side. We're hitting everything today. Everybody will be mad before we leave today, probably. On the other side of that, you could be, well, preacher, I've got a job, you know, and I'm making $7,000 a minute. Slight exaggeration. But if it takes you out of church, God is nowhere in it. Amen. Make a job move. Listen, I'm just preaching. I don't have anybody in mind. Make a job move. Move off somewhere else to go. First thing you better know, is there a Bible preaching church that I can get my family in? God will send you nowhere to make money. Amen. Where there's no Bible preaching, Bible believing church to get in. Because if you make a move somewhere and there's no church to get in, it won't be long till you'll become weak. And when you get weak, it won't be long till you'll be wicked. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher! Amen. I'll say my own amens. That's right. Selfishness is the driving force to the far country. Self is the nature that wants the far country. Hates the restrictions. Hello. Hates the restrictions of the Father's house, and it's implied right there. That's probably what it was. It's probably what it was. Amen. It wasn't, Brother Brian, listen. It wasn't just that he wanted the money or the inheritance, and I'm sure it was money. I'm sure it was some kind of funding. It wasn't that. He could have got that at the house. He could have got that at the house and probably spent it right there, spent some money of it, right, some of it there, you know. But there was something in the far country he wanted that he couldn't get at the Father's house. Father had standards. The Father had rules. The Father had things there that demanded him to do right and be right, but he didn't want that no more. I want to go to the loose, far country. I want to go where there's nobody telling me don't, and nobody's telling me no, and nobody's telling me stop, amen? I want to go where I'm absolutely without bounds. I want to go where it's everything is just all for me and about me. Now that sounds good, and it will feel good for a while. We're not there yet in our story, in the passage, but we'll get there. In fact, it's next. The route produced the ruin. The request produced the route. The route produced the ruin. Amen. And we're going to look at that, Lord willing, as the Lord leads us. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.